Here we are. We've gone through a lot of material during these few days. This is our fifth session and our final session. I still have a lot of questions. We went through all of this, and I still have a lot of questions about the subject of believing. I still am not clear as to how the term itself got into the Bible, considering the word that which is pisteo in the New Testament, and the fact that the word pistis is the word for faith, and then pisteo, you would think it would be some form of the word faith extended in some way. But pisteo is actually the past tense of faith. By using the word believed and its connotations is the fact that it's not something that you know, it's something that you believe. The definition, though, in the New Testament for the word pisteo, according to the Strong's, its primary definition is to give credit. Now, if I were to replace the word believed, I would in the New Testament, I would replace it with the word credit or credited. Those who credit Christ for what he did. There is a power that comes in crediting when you're able to hear and know. But you see, crediting comes from knowing. Believing just doesn't seem to me to be the sufficient nor the accurate word for us to be using in trying to communicate the gospel. To them that believe in many of Paul's teachings. So what that would turn into, based on the definition of the word pisteo, it would be to those that credit Christ, that something happens once you get, which again, crediting Christ or crediting the cross is something that you would do once you have come to a logical, reasonable, knowledge-based conclusion. When belief, by the definition of its own, by the word itself, it is indeed a persuasion that has some information, but it is weighted most heavily with an emotional reaction to something that you hear. So when you credit somebody, that you do it because you're now convinced. Okay, so we give you credit for that. And it's not because you believe they did something. If you only believed it, you would withhold giving credit until you knew it, right? So I do apologize if it sounds like I'm being nitpicky at this, but I have seen the word believed really, really, really leave us without a complete understanding of what the New Testament is saying when the term believe shows up. So one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do is, as you read through and you see the word believe or believed, then just insert the word credit or credited to the people who have credited Christ with this. If you give him full credit, then there seems to be a very full reaction, as knowledge does. Because crediting someone means that your knowledge is now complete, your knowledge is sufficient enough to where now that you do give credit to this one. I hate to compare it to an election. I really detest our election time that we're in right now. But, they hold off on giving credit to who won because they don't have all the votes in. So, in other words, they would not have all the facts in yet. So they wait until after all the facts are in and before they credit you with winning this, or especially in the what we're in right now in primary season. So we could go down through really quite a few of these, but I don't think it's really necessary. I'm hoping to just tell you that, to send you home with some homework. And when you read, and again, I'm being repetitive, but I'm really serious that when you read the word believe, especially where the word pisteo shows up in the Greek, those of you that have a Greek dictionary, and if you look in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, its primary definition for pisteo is credit. It means to give credit. So we see that there is a difference between believing and giving credit, right? One of them is an incomplete persuasion, and to give credit to something or someone is a complete persuasion of something. So we have that. I could have done an entire session on it, but we ran out of time. So with that in mind, the only other thing I want to do is go to the Old Testament and show you how that what the Hebrew word is for believe. Now, the word believe, and of course you have to look up all the forms, believe and believed and believeth. And yes, all of those forms. But regardless of which one you look up of those in the Old Testament, it is all one Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is amen. And the word amen is very interesting. It's just A-M-A-N. So like this one, this is just one that's popped up. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramallah, son. If you will not believe, is the way it's translated, surely, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So now this is very telling, because the word believe is amen, and the word established is amen. So it sounds as though that, see, when we are having to take our understanding of the word believe, even as they've done here, they've divided this up, and it says, if you won't be established. What it's actually saying is, if you won't be established, then you won't be established. When this is putting the weight on you to make up your mind about something with probably limited information. And let me see if I can pull us up a couple of others here. Because I do find these to be very interesting. Let's go to here. Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That's actually a very good verse for people who talk about, you know, well, what about other gods? Well, there aren't any. There weren't any before, and there's not any after. But the way that this word is translated, now again, the word, let me take you to the word amen and read you the definitions of it here. And you'll see that the word amen in the Old Testament, the word believe for the word amen is insufficient. just the same as the word believe, for the word pisteo in the New Testament is insufficient. It is not fully descriptive of the word pisteo, and neither is the word believed sufficient for the word amen. Because the word amen, this is its definition. Now, there is so much here, and I have to tell you that I don't know a lot of this. I don't know. The one thing he'll know is that it does not mean what we think it does. I can't tell you. There's part of it that is clear as to what we can get out of it. The rest of it, there is something here that is more than what I can get out of it at the point. I'm just going to read this Strong's exhaustive definition to you. So to believe, the word believe, every time the word believe shows up in the Old Testament, it is this word amen. It doesn't make any difference whether it's believe, believed, believeth, or anything else. It says it is a primitive root properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent or a nurse. So this is something that you hold so close to. It's like a child. If you have something that you are amen, translated as believe, it's something that you want to actually take as your own, to the point to where that you nurse it, you cherish it, you develop it yourself. Figuratively, to render or to be firm or faithful, to trust, and of course it's got the word believe in here, to be permanent or quiet, morally to be true or certain. Once in Isaiah 30, verse 21, interchangeable with another Hebrew word, 541, to go to the right hand, hence, and it is translated as the word assurance. Now, we know that assurance is not the word believe, right? Assurance is something that would be beyond belief. Okay, but it also means, it's also translated as bring up and to establish. Establish is a term that is beyond belief. To be faithful of long continuance, steadfast, sure. It is not a belief. It means you're sure. It's not what the connotation that we have on the word belief at all. Trusty, verified. This is the one that I really, really liked. When the word amen shows, which is translated only as the word believe, and actually there's some places that these other words do show up. What I'm reading to you now is places where that this word amen actually shows up as the word sure. And I can go down through these and we can find those in just a moment. Be like a nursing father. And so there's a lot to it. The one thing that we know that it is not nearly as minimally descriptive and almost misleadingly descriptive of the word as the word that it got translated to is the word believe. So this is something that's much more sure because it shows up as the word sure. All right, so let me glance through this. This may be really all that I wanted to communicate to you this morning or this afternoon is this... Yes. Okay, let me show you this. All right, so see, like in Genesis 15:6, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and that's the word amen, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, that's a very, very important one because that is brought into the New Testament. So all I'm doing is showing you there's still a tremendous amount of research that needs to be done here. Genesis 42:20 says, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified. Now, that is the word amen. Other places, if they would have followed through, so shall your words be believed. But instead, it is the word verified that it got translated into, and you shall not die. And they did so. Let me scroll down here just a bit and see what else we have. Believe, and the vast majority of times it is the word believe, but it for no real reason has been translated in these other fashions that I described to you just a little bit earlier. So here comes this part of it that we found in the definition of the word. It says, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father. And the word is, the word for as a nursing father is amen. So we've got some things that we need to understand here that we obviously don't. And that's okay. One of the reasons we've been able to progress in our understanding of the gospel is because we're comfortable with what we don't know. We're not satisfied with what we don't know, but we're comfortable with what we don't know, because what we don't know is the strings or the threads that's going to lead us on into understanding more and more of the gospel. Let's keep going down. There's only 102 verses, so I'm scrolling quickly. Believe, 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 believe. There's one where it's translated as the word amen is translated as the word faithful. And of long continuance. That is the word amen in other places, and of long belief is how it could have just very easily have been translated also. Long continuance two times. Assurance, this is wonderful, I love this one. And shall have none assurance of thy life. So the term assurance is shows up as the word amen, and instead of the word belief. So it's an assurance. Trusted is the word amen also. It's translated as trusted. And became nurse is amen. Faithful. Sure. I will build him a sure house. That is amen. All right? So it could have very easily been translated, I will build him a believing house. But here it is translated as amen. The next one here is Samuel was established to be the prophet. It could have been translated as Samuel was believed to be the prophet. So, it's got a lot of translations for one single word. So, see, my questions now, I'm driving Don a little bit crazy, is because everything in me says that this word believed should never have entered into the Bible. That there are many other great translations for these Hebrew and Greek words that would have been far superior to this and would have given us much clearer understanding, just like if you understand that the word pisteo means to give credit. How much would that have simplified all of this? You know, but see, to me, the word believed is almost a mystical term. You know, do you believe in fairy tales? Do you believe in goblins? Do you believe in whatever? But if you use the word credit, do you give credit to fairy tales? You know, you see that just it comes out with a whole different need to even try to think through it and by what means you actually think through it. So Samuel was established to be a prophet. And it's translated again there as faithful. This one is really good. I want to read all the way through this. I pray thee forgive the trespass of thy handmaiden, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battle of the Lord, and evil hath not been found. So when it says, make my Lord a sure house, it is the word sure is amen, not believing, right? And then, of course, let's look at and Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Now, even in this, Achish believed David. He was sure. It wasn't that he, what we understand, believed. He was sure that David had done this. This was not a belief. And here again, and his nurse take him up. So, and his nurse is the word amen, translated other places as the word believe. This is good. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And the word established is the word amen. And thy throne shall be established. I'm sorry, and thy kingdom shall be established. So, if they would have translated this as the word it is 2/3 of the times, it said your kingdom will be believed. Well, that would have reduced the validity of this or the certainty of this a great deal. Had that happened. This one in Kings. And I pray thee, be verified. And I pray thee, be verified which thou speakest unto thy servant David. So he didn't pray that to be believed, which the servant spoke, but his prayer was to be verified. He says, verify what has been said. But it got, and that's what got translated here. But in other places, it is the word believe. I promise we're getting through quickly. I will be with thee and build thee a sure house, as I build for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Now, what an important prophecy. And this is the word amen. And here it got translated as sure, and 2/3 of the rest of the Old Testament, it got translated as the word believe. And to them that brought up, that is the word amen. That entire phrase, and to them that brought up. And the bringers up of the children, that is the word amen. And concerning his house be established forever. The word established is the word amin. That's far superior to anything we understand about the word believe. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even the God of Israel, and let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. So let it even be established. That is the word amen. Yeah. Unto David, my father, be established, amen, for thou hast made him king. So, as you can see, the word amen means more than believed. It just simply means more than that. In 2 Chronicles, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken. It would have been translated, let thy word be believed, if it had gone with what is translated otherwise. But here it needs to be verified. Verified is something far greater than something that's been believed. Because many things can be believed that have not been verified. It takes it all back to knowledge. And that's the thing that I'm getting out of all of this, is that this word actually connects us much more strongly to knowledge and knowing than it does to this, you know, well, I believe, but I don't know. And he brought up, that's one of the strangest things about this, is this nursing element that is in this word, amen. And usually is referring to a father nursing instead of a mother nursing. The word trust is the word amen. Translated, that one's believed, trusty. Trust, sure, believed, believe, believeth, sure, for the testimony of the Lord is sure. Otherwise could have been translated that the testimony of the Lord is believed. Inferior to what that actually conveys. Steadfast is a word that comes from the word amen. Steadfast again. Stand fast. Sure. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers. Amen is the word for that entire sentence. And who hath believed our report? I thought this one was very interesting when I ran across it, because and of course that term got translated then, of course, into the New Testament. But if I were reading this, I would think that the writer would have been served much better, who wrote this in Hebrew, if I think that it would have been much better served is by using the word that has been used several times, and who hath verified our report. Who could verify this report? And that is, you know, it's anybody can say, well, I believe that. But see, if you have to verify the report, you have to know something about the report. And so what we've done is left this into the word believed has left us and left and lulled us into a place to where we really don't have to put much effort into what we believe. Yes, absolutely. Who has given credit to our report, but it would translate into the way it was translated. There's the word sure again. Shall be nursed. Amen. Brought up. See, there's a lot of times this is used as this term of some nurturing of some kind, of being brought up or nursed, and I don't understand it at all. I'm going to do my best to find someone. Now, Don is expert in Greek, and I need someone who is more expert in Hebrew to try to break this down for us. Because there's something tremendously good about what we're finding here. That which shall surely be. That is, amen, that entire statement, that which shall surely be. That's not a belief. And that is it. We went through everything in the Old Testament as to where the word that shows up as believed, how it is translated in other ways. So, New Testament, we have the most firm understanding of the word believed is to give credit or credit someone or for it to be credited. In the Old Testament, we have no reason to think that it should be anything less than the word verified or sure because of the context that it is in. If you take the places where believed is used in the Old Testament, the word verified, ensure, and establish work. When you take the places where established, sure, and verified are used, believe just simply doesn't work. It loses its power. It loses its strength. So, I don't know anybody else on the planet that's studying this stuff out or who even cares, but it's obvious that there's something here. Now, what we did in this particular conference is try to open up, and I admitted to you when I first started, I had not, there's things about this I still don't know. And do we throw away the word belief? I'm not ready to throw away the word belief. I think there is a word that could have been used in the Old Testament and the New that could have brought much greater clarity to this. But it wasn't. I don't know who would agree with me or disagree with me on that. But but seeing that these words have really much stronger assertions of meaning than what we understand the word believe. I don't know. The one thing I've talked with Don about, did the word believe mean something more in its origins than what it does now? Which seemed to turn out the answer to that was no, because the word believe is from the Germanic, which started out as the word beloved, which ties it to, once again, a very strong emotional persuasion instead of a strong intellectual or knowledge-based persuasion. If something is beloved, I mean, your child can, commit crimes and go to jail and they still be beloved. It doesn't make any difference what the facts are. It's still, you still have this beloved relationship that you have. So, but I think what we have learned has been very sure. our ability to be encouraged to know what we know. I still like the verse that says, "For I know in whom I have believed." Maybe believing is something that we don't have to change. I think that the definition would be much better off as the word credited or credit. But even if you give credit, let's read that in that way. For I know in whom I've credited. See, even that has a stronger connotation that you're very sure about something. We have to realize that when this was translated, that it was translated in an environment where that there was purpose. Let me say it how I need to say it. There was definitely predetermined perceptions as to what needed to be said, and they did apply those at the time, they, you know, there were kings who had edicts over this translation, saying there are things that you cannot translate into this. There are things that you must get in there because we don't want to undermine the authority of the king. Believe me, King James would have never put his name on this unless he had had influence over it. To think that he did without any influence over it would be just absolutely foolish to think that that took place. Well, I really appreciate your comment, because my number one motivation in starting this was to demystify the word belief. And nobody knew that, but that was my goal, was to demystify this word. I knew it had to be something much more than this mystical feeling. When we first started in this, I was we even researched the possibility that this started somewhere in the realms of paganism, that it somehow had pagan roots to it. Don tells me that it does not. I'm not sure that we have enough information to say that it does not, that it definitely has no pagan influence over the word whatsoever, because paganism was a part of the translation of this Bible. Not only was it a part of it, but paganism was what Christianity agreed to incorporate itself into and marry itself to be able to gain pagan people into the ranks of Christianity. And I don't either. I don't want it to be a mystical term, but it's just simply that I am open to the possibility that it could have mystical origins to it. It certainly does not convey certainty. That the word believe does not convey. And a lot of those translations really take out as much grace as possible and puts it more in the realm of works. I don't know, but we're looking at it. The thing that I've learned, James, over these years, is there's things I did not think were in the Bible until I peeled off another layer of something else. And there very well could be something there that is much more revealing than what we have. I think the fact that we have stumbled upon, led to, however you want to put it, that we have come to understand that the gospel was planned out before the foundation of the world is huge. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's fantastic. And it's not just one verse. I mean, it's repeated over and over and over again in Paul's writings. There's definitely a chance. It depends on where you look. If you look in Paul's letters, there is every chance in the world. Bye, James. Thank you for being here, buddy. Bye. It depends on where you'd start. Yeah, but people who say, I'm going to start reading the Bible and start in Genesis and go through, not a chance. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much. We are going to dismiss and appreciate you coming. I know a lot of you think that all of my inspiration comes from the Holy Ghost, but I have to tell you, a great deal of my inspiration comes from you. And the fact that I know you and I know your hearts, and your heart toward me gives me the freedom to be able to trust what I'm looking for on the inside. So please don't ever think that see yourself as simply those who sit and listen. Believe me, by what you share with me from your heart, it gives me the ability to share what I have from my heart. Thank you so very much, and I mean that. Completely. I love you.
I'm inspiring.
I didn't say you.